Let us bow. Let us bow. Eternal God, our Father, we are grateful because in spite of it all, you've been blessing us. We've hit some bumps in the road, but you blessed us. We've had some troubles, but you still blessed us. God, you blessed us this morning with your presence in this place. Just as you have led our children in worship, lead me now through this moment of proclamation. Say a word that will strengthen somebody, encourage somebody, lift somebody, give someone hope in the midst of their despair. Bless now the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. O Lord, let it be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's for Christ's sake I do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Certainly glad that all of you are here today, but I did want to take this opportunity to thank my very lovely wife who is in red. Amen. She did an excellent job on yesterday. We co-taught a class, and thank God for her. I guess every day I realize how blessed I am. The Lord gave me a powerful blessing in the person and the personality of Reverend Charlotte Leach. Amen. And as Sister Anita Dean Arnett said on the radio today, I like her. You know, you can love some folk and not like them. I love you, but I don't like your ways. I like her. Amen, amen. She's likable. Praise the Lord. This morning's text is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 21. In its entirety, but for our textual reference, verses 15, 16, and 17a. Genesis 21, starting at verse 15, reading 16, and then the first portion of the 17th verse. According to the New Revised Standard rendering, you'll find these words: when the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, do not let me look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. An angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, Hagar, what troubles you? The word of God for the people of God. Sisters and brothers, there is nothing wrong with looking forward, but every now and again, history calls us to look back. Every now and again, the voices of the past call us to remembrance. Every once in a while, we are summoned to look at the experiential images of yesterday. Every now and then, the souls of the ancestors rally our recollection to their collective journey. Today's message requires us to look back. There's nothing wrong with preparing for the future, but the message today requires us to reconcile our historical and communal journey. There's nothing wrong with hoping for better and brighter days, but the message today may cause us to wrestle with our sometimes unpleasant past and informs our present situation. Every now and again, we need to come to grips with where we have been as a people and where God has brought us from. this particular narrative gives rise to some troubling social and theological issues. And most students of the Bible must admit that it is a very difficult text to swallow ethically and morally. As I read this text and the surrounding verses, I found it strange and somewhat peculiar that for whatever reason, the text does not give us a response from Hagar to this concerned inquiry from heaven. The angel's question regarding Hagar's situation in this text goes unanswered, or appears to go unanswered. No words have been recorded biblically by the writer of what Hagar could or might have said in response to this caring question from the angel on high. Hagar, what ails you? At first, I thought perhaps Hagar was too overcome with grief and anguish to respond to it. With the impending prospect of the death of her son looming on the horizon, or maybe she was in the process of pouring out her heart and soul inwardly like Hannah did to her God, and he was her God. Perhaps the agony or the possibility of the death of Ishmael was more than this mother could bear. Or maybe what she really had to say could not be put in words by the writer. You see, this mother was mourning over the deathbed possibility of her son. He was dying. She had done all she could for him, and she did not want to see him take his last breath. And I believe from somewhere deep down in the recesses of her soul, she was speaking the kind of language of the brokenhearted and the seriously distressed. In her heart, she was engaged in crushed spirit dialogue with God. She was having a conversation, y'all. She was doing the kind of crying that causes the body to shake and ache with pain. Sisters and brothers, I believe, as she laid there, tears were cascading down her cheeks, as she was talking the kind of language nobody can understand but God. African-American mothers know this language very well and have long understood that you can be so grief-stricken over a son or daughter that you can't do nothing but cry. That you can be so heartbroken about a child that you stay up all night and can't sleep. Do I have a witness? Can you see her there so hurt that she could not talk? Have you ever been so hurt about a child, or for that matter, about anything else, that you couldn't put it in words? You couldn't utter a prayer and you couldn't lift your voice? But even when you can't say a word, God knows the language of our heart. The only God can discern our moans and deep down in our souls. That's why when Hannah was at the altar and no words came out of her mouth and Eli didn't hear anything, God did. I sometimes wonder if Hagar had spoken, if she could have articulated the struggles deep within her, if she could have somehow muttered the words of a mother's grief, what would we have heard? What would she have said? Brothers and sisters, if you don't mind, I like to use my imagination. And I believe Hagar would have said, if she would have spoken, "Lord, I've got issues." And that's what I want to talk about. Lord, I've got issues. Like any good student of the Bible, I've done some background research into this narrative. But I must confess that I was not satisfied with what I found dealing with the story. I was not satisfied with the viewpoint offered by some scholars surrounding this passage. As I saw it, some of them did an injustice and a disservice to this now homeless, displaced mother and her son in their interpretation. I did not come here today to represent or defend the actions of Abraham or Sarah. Over the course of history, many scholars have already done that. But if we are to do justice to the principle of God's morality, as seen in the life and love of Jesus, we've got to be open in our spirit. And we got to sometimes look at things a little bit differently, to be in line with who God is and what God is and how God is. That is the uniqueness of God. And in God's word, we can be found, and it reaches us right where we are. God wants us to read his word with an open mind and an open heart. When we read with a closed mind and a closed heart, we sometimes do a disservice and bring discredit to God who comes through the tragedy and the pain even in this story. We do a disservice and we bring discredit upon God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we shine a negative light on God who is no respecter of persons. I'm talking about the God who heard the voice of this weeping child and this mournful mother and calls out from heaven and sends a word of hope in the midst of tragic human circumstances. The God who not only sees but hears the agonies of troubled souls in danger. The God who my grandmother and mother said sits high but looks low. The God whose scripture says never sleeps and he never slumbers. Sisters and brothers, our God heard the cry of an orphan child languishing in the wilderness about to die. I'm glad he's a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts. I'm glad he's a God who the elders said is a company keeper and a way out of no way. Aren't you glad to have a God like that? So no matter how difficult this text is on our spiritual or natural senses, I thank God for the words of the author. For every now and again, God speaks lovingly and tenderly to his people in the midst of struggles, concerns, and cares. This text parades tragically across the stage of biblical history, beginning in the 16th chapter of Genesis. Have you ever read the story? David T. Shannon, in an article, an antebellum sermon, a resource for an African-American interpretation, writes, according to current folklore, a young boy once was told by his mother about a hunter's conquest over lions. This story intrigued the little boy, and he was puzzled, and he inquired, if the lion is the king of the jungle, then why does the hunter always win? The mother responded, the hunter will always win until the lion writes his own story. He goes on to say the same may be said about African Americans who have also been victimized by having their story told by others. Sisters and brothers, we got to tell our own story. Somebody else might mess it up. They might leave something out or they might put something in that doesn't need to be there. In my critical thinking class, my professor would say that this story begs the question. This young black Egyptian girl, a slave in Abraham's house, is said to have been given to him as a second wife in verse 3 of chapter 16. But nowhere else is she ever referred to as the wife of Abraham. I ain't gonna get a whole lot of amens in here. Not by Sarah, not by Abraham, and not even by the angel who calls to her from heaven in the wilderness. She is referred to as Sarah's maid or slave. Biblically, no evidence is given of a wedding ceremony for this slave girl. Some of my seminary sisters would go as far as to say Hagar was taken advantage of by her slave master. If that was the case, brother and sister, she had some real issues. Perhaps that may explain why she was angry with Sarah. Cheryl D. Stevens in the Layman's Bible Book Commentary says that Sarah's response to Hagar's anger was to whip this pregnant, young, soon-to-be mother with Abraham's permission. In response, she runs away from her abusive mistress. Sisters and brothers, she had some issues with both Abraham and Sarah. But this is what I love about God. He shows up in the midst of this mother's wilderness experience. When it seemed like her issues were about ready to overwhelm her, God shows up. When it seemed like she reached the end of her road, God showed up. When all hope seemed lost, God shows up. When she ran out of water and ran out of bread, God shows up. And when her son was on the verge of death, God showed up. Just look at the Lord. God thought enough of this marginalized mother to show up and help her with her issues. Some would dare say that God showed up because of Abraham, but I would beg to differ. I believe God showed up in spite of Abraham. The angel asked, "What's ailing you, Hagar?" And even though it is not recorded, I believe she said, "Lord, I've got issues." When we've got issues, God has an answer and a solution for what ails us. The angel tells her that the Lord has heard the cries of the child and has seen her affliction. So God showed up and he gave her two things. First, he gave her a promise. He gave her a word of assurance. And he gave her a word of hope. Sisters and brothers, when you are in the wilderness, sometimes all you need is a word. A word that will calm your doubts and soothe your fears. A word that will heal your hurts and mend your wounds. A word that will lift your head and dry your weeping eyes. Sometimes all we need to deal with our issues is just a word from God. The first thing he gave her was a word. The next thing God gives her is water. Because she ran out of water. And she needed water to make it through her wilderness situation. Sisters and brothers, won't God give you water? Somebody in here that knows that God will put food on your table, shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, and a roof over your head. Won't he do it? Maybe that's why the elders used to say, "Eat bread when you're hungry and water when you are thirsty." Ishmael means, his name means God hears. Contrary to what some might believe, Ishmael was not Abraham's half-son. Not only that, if we accept verse 2 of this chapter, Ishmael was supposed to be Sarah's son. Hagar was supposed to be acting as a surrogate mother. Do I have a witness yet? Have you read the story? I don't believe that there's anything worse than a child that does not know a mother's love. If your mother won't have you, who will? A child that has been rejected by one or more parents, especially its mother, has some serious issues. But I'm so glad if and when we are rejected, God will show up. That's why David wrote, if my mother or father forsake me, the Lord will bear me up. Won't he do it? Sarah finally has a son, Isaac. Don't get me wrong, everybody in this extended family had issues. Like all of us, we got some issues. Sarah had issues with jealousy and envy. Abraham had some issues too. He may have eventually become the father of many nations, but in this case, he was an absentee father. It's in the book. It's in the book. As a result, Ishmael grew up to have issues. He suffered from antisocial behavior. You see, homelessness and poverty breed antisocial behavior. And if we as a people and the children of God are going to be liberated and set free or delivered, we have got to be honest about our issues. Oftentimes we are in denial because we refuse to face honestly and openly the issues that are plaguing our communities, our families, and sometimes even our churches. The sad truth is sometimes no one is in more denial than folks in the church. But Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do I have a witness here? Many have turned this Bible inside out, but they exhibit what Paul told his son Timothy. They are ever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. How do we get there? They are there because somebody has reinterpreted the word faith to mean denial. But denying that we don't have some issues and problems won't solve them. Do I have a witness here? Faith is not denying the truth. Faith is believing that God will work it out in spite of the hard truth, in spite of the difficult truth, and in spite of the painful truth. In other words, it's all right to say to the Lord, I've got issues. It's all right to say to the Lord, I need some help. It's all right to say to the Lord, I've got problems. That's why the hymn writer wrote, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles, because I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Jesus said we should deal with our issues before we try to deal with someone else's issues. We ought to get the mote out of our eye before we can remove the speck from somebody else's eye. I don't know about you, but I got some issues. You can't look at a person and tell whether or not they've got issues. But I've got some issues. I've got some personal issues that I wrestle with just like Paul did. I've got some individual issues. I wish I were further along in ministry. I've got some social issues in a state that is making it harder for black folk to cast their vote, sick people to get Medicare, and unemployment folks to lose their benefits. I've got some political issues in a state that cuts teacher pay, and takes money away from the school system, but gives big tax breaks to people and corporations that don't need them. And you may not admit it, but you got some issues too. If you come from a broken home like Hagar and Ishmael, if you've been divorced, if you wrestled with substance abuse, if you're black in America, if you ever been to jail, if you ever been physically abused, if you ever been exposed to racism, sexism, if you're young, if you're old, if you're working, if you're unemployed, you've got some issues. Do I have a witness here? All I'm trying to say is that everybody got some issues. Sometimes our issues are cause, or sometimes issues cause us to have what I call a dual capacity. We have the ability to fly like eagles and the ability to self-destruct at the same time. Contrary to what some people believe, hurts over and over again never really go away. Do I have a witness? We might have a scar, or we might have a scab on the wound, but underneath the wound, the tissue is still not healed. But I'm so glad the elders were right, that the God we serve, he sits high, but he looks low. If Hagar were here today, I believe she would echo the words of the songwriter. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live, while trouble rides, I'll hasten to his throne. Or perhaps she would say these words: souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry wave. Or perhaps she would say, that problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. I tried and I tried, kept getting deep involved. I turned it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I turned it over to the Lord and he worked it out. Won't he work it out for you? Well, as I close, there was a story about a little boy who used to like watching Batman and Robin. One day, while watching, he saw the Joker catch them in a trap. And he thought to himself that it's over. They are not going to be able to escape this time. The Joker has them right where he wants them. And they are not going to be able to get out. He believed that it was over for the dynamic duo. But somehow they got out. Batman and Robin escaped. So the little boy went to his father and said, "Daddy, how is it that Batman and Robin always gets out? No matter what the Joker does, they always get out." His father said, "Son, Batman and Robin are always following a script. And whoever wrote the script wrote it so that they could always get out. No matter what the Joker does, if Batman and Robin will follow the script, they always come out. No matter what they face, if they follow the script, they always come out." Ain't the Lord all right? That's what I want to leave you with. I know some of you are dealing with issues of jokers and issues on your job. issues in your community, issues in your family. But I come by to tell you, follow the script that God wrote for you, and you will come out. You may be hurting, but you're coming out. You may be down, but you're coming out. You may be wounded, but you're coming out. You may be broken, but you're coming out, because God is able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask to think. He's able. All you got to do is follow the script. What's the script? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. What's the script? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's the script? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. What's the script? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. What's the script? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. What's the script? Be not dismayed, but appetite. God will take care of you. What's the script? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Yeah. Sisters and brothers, Jesus always followed the script. He left His home in glory, following the script. He healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the hungry, gave sight to the blind, following script. He followed the script. They led Him from judgment hall to judgment hall. He followed the script. And one Friday, they stretched Him wide and hung Him high, and He died. Yeah, He died for your sins and mine. And the devil, the joker, thought he had Him. But early Sunday morning, He got up with all power in His hand, following the script. I'm here to tell you, follow the script. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Follow the script. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. What's the script? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Won't He do it? What's the script? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and to give you a future filled with hope. If we follow the script, some glad morning, when this life is over, we'll fly away. If we follow the script,
just a few more weary days, and then we'll find a way. If we follow the script, one day we'll hear his voice say, well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. Come on up. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he come see about you? Won't he put bread on your table? Clothes on your back? Food on your table? Won't he do it? Won't he do it?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've got issues. I've got issues. I've got issues. But I thank God that he's able to handle all of my issues. Is there one today? The doors of the church are open.